You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where Zach and I check out all sorts of stuff and talk about it. I don't know. It's kind of groovy. Give us a listen. How you doing, Zach?
Not bad. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Been an eventful weekend for us. My son got his temporary permit yesterday to drive.
Oh, I wondered what that was. Your wife posted a photograph, but it was just a sheet of paper with his face on it and everything else was blurred out.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
I was like, I don't know what that means. Workers permit or something?
His first mugshot.
Yeah. All it said was, well, this happened. And I was like, what was it?
What is that?
What happened?
That's funny. Yeah. No, we went and, oh my God, there was some kid that, because they have to, you know, for the learner's permit in Ohio anyway, it's just a written test, right?
Right.
They take him at a computer, it's a touch screen, you know, and he was like reading every question very methodically, making sure he answered. And this other kid comes in, sits down. They had two terminals. The kid sits down next to him. And which, first of all, he turned to my son. He's like, where's the mouse? And my son's like, it's touchscreen. And he's like, well, where's the keyboard? He's like, it's multiple choice. And then this kid, I don't even know how he read the questions. I just hear him tapping like he's like freaking Morse code. It was like, and then he got it, like, he was done in like 2.5-3 minutes. There's 40 questions. And he's like, he comes walking over to his mom's like, that's the easiest thing I ever did. Jeez. Johnny driving law over here.
Did he get his permit?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I was cracking me up though. He was a funny kid because his mom goes, all right, I'll be right back. I don't know if she was like going to the ATM to grab cash to pay for it or what. But she left, and so then the lady at the counter is like, well, I can help you if you're done. And he goes, oh, she'll be right back. She went to Circle K to day drink.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, that kid is a fucking rock star. And then he never said anything to her. She got back, and he was like, hey, they're ready for us.
I love that.
I know. I was like, that's amazing. Yeah, I was cracking up. Yeah, but yeah, so then me and the boy drove around yesterday because he's never really been behind a wheel. Like, even with my daughter, like, she wanted to practice before she got her temp. So we like went to a parking lot and let her drive around.
Yeah.
But he's never really seemed that interested or wanted to ask about it. So we didn't. Right after we got the permit, I was like, well, you want to go like practice at all? And he was like, yeah. So we went to a parking lot and drove around for like a half hour. And then I was like, well, do you want to, like, it's mostly back roads to like your aunt and uncle's house. Do you want to go over there and tell them? And he's like, sure. And so then like yesterday afternoon, he just comes out and's like, hey, can we go driving again? And I was like, yeah, okay. So he drove around. He drove after dark yesterday and stuff. I'm like,
oh,
day one, man, he's all about it. So,
wow. Very nice.
Yeah. So he's doing really well. So
good.
So that was fun. On a less exciting note, I did see Morbius this past week since we recorded.
Yeah. You texted me about it.
Yeah. It's, it's bad.
Is that your official review?
Oh, so my one buddy who is very forgiving of movies, right? Like, very forgiving. He called me because I knew he was seeing it also. He's like, did you get a chance to see Morbius? I'm like, yeah. And I said the same thing. I go, she's pretty bad. And he was like, see, I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. It was fun. I was like, was it? And so then I kind of told him all the problems I had with it. And he's like, yeah, yeah. he's like, you're not wrong. He's like, but it was not. He goes, it was all right. I was like, well, I don't think so.
See, I kind of want to see it now.
Yeah.
Because, like, you are so much more forgiving than I am about this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that you didn't like it makes me have this morbid curiosity about how much I'm going to hate it.
It is. It's just not very well done. And it was funny because I think we talked, I don't remember if we talked on pod or afterwards last time, but you said that, like, you'd seen a lot of reviews where they were like, Matt Smith really kind of carries the movie.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. Like, I mean, he is chewing scenery like he's a grizzled Hollywood veteran just having fun. And I'm like, sir, Willem Dafoe, you are not. Like, back it off about 25% there.
Have buddy. You ever? He is kind of like that, though. Have you ever, like, seen him in anything else?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you what, boy, watching him in that, it makes me not super excited at all about that Game of Thrones show that's coming out.
Like, that's funny. I love him.
Jesus. He has two dance sequences in the movie.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. Why are you dancing in Morbius?
Yeah. I saw a quote from the director who was like, people just keep asking him over and over again, like, what is his reaction to all the bad reviews?
Yeah, I saw this. Go ahead, though.
It's like, it's sad. Like, he said something like, I hate myself or something like that.
Oh, see, the one I saw, he was like, well, you put out something that you really believe in and you hope is good. And, you know, like, I mean, it still sounded sad. I didn't see the, like, I hate myself thing.
Yeah, I think it got, like, progressively worse every time somebody asked him.
Well, man. That sucks because, I mean, you know what, though? I agree with him because I also hate him. No, I don't. I don't. I'm sure he's a lovely person who just can't direct his way out of a wet paper bag. So I think I mentioned to you off pod, and I'm going to minor spoilers for a shitty movie that you shouldn't waste your time or money on. Mm-hmm. Dr. Michael Morbius is presented with the Nobel Science Prize, right? I don't even know what the actual name is. Nobel Award for Science or something like that.
Sure.
Maybe medical. I don't know if they're separate. Whatever. And he goes and then snubs it because he just doesn't take it, which you don't really see. That happens off camera. But you see him walking toward the podium and then he doesn't take it. His love interest / additional doctor lady that's in some of the trailers, she refers to it twice in a conversation with him and says, I mean, who does that? You can't just deny the Nobel Prize. And she calls it Nobel twice. And she has I don't know. I mean, I don't think she really had that much of an accent, but as a director, you gotta go, cut, it's Nobel. You know, like, you can't call it the Nobel, it's Nobel. Like, that's how everybody in the world pronounces it.
Right. Does she have an accent of some sort?
I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't think so, but maybe? I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like it was from an accent, though. I feel like it was that she just assumed that Nobel was pronounced noble.
Yeah.
And nobody on set was like, I don't think that's right. Like, you would love it. I think you would love it because as a big science guy, they don't understand how echolocation works.
Yeah.
I mean, all it was missing was bad time travel. And I think it would have, like, ooh, filled out your bingo card.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm really, like, the curiosity is just like, I'm going to see it at some point.
Yeah, you need to. You really need to. Don't spend money because let's not encourage Sony's bad behavior. But yeah, my wife was like, how bad was it? And I was like, I belong to that Cinemark movie club or whatever. And you get a free movie ticket every month and they roll over if you don't use them. Yeah. And so I haven't been to a movie in a few months. So I had one of some freebies. And I was like, I used a free movie ticket and I'm mad that I wasted a free movie ticket on it. Like, because that's one less person we would have had to pay for to go see Doctor Strange. You know, like, yeah, it was not. I told her it was Wonder Woman 1984 bad. And she was like, really? I was like, yeah, because, like, we watched that. I don't know if you remember. I told you we watched that on, like, Christmas Day 2 years ago when it came out.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I apologized to my family that I suggested that we watch it. I was like, I'm sorry that I suggested Wonder Woman 1984. It was really not good. And Morbius fits squarely into that category.
That's funny.
Whatever, man. Jared Leto always has his cult to fall back on.
I guess.
Allegedly, making people pay to come spend time in a yurt in the wilderness with you and meet and greet you and look up to you and listen to your teachings. Allegedly, that's a cult. yeah. So speaking of Jared Leto, though, remind me when we get to news, I have something that relates indirectly, but sort of directly to him, which I think is funny. So first, though, I want to hear, how'd your week go, man?
Not bad. Not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, work wise, it was a little rough. But that is what it is. I think I need
work's been hectic over here too.
I need some time off, and that's not going to happen because I've been roped into this demonstration that has to be put together for a potential client. And then like the following week we have like some kind of like get together at the office that I'm not thrilled about. And
nice.
Yeah.
You guys just going to stand around and breathe directly into each other's open mouths?
They invited like all 10 floors of the building to come hang out with each other for like 3 hours on the same floor.
Nice.
And I'm not thrilled about that.
Yeah, that's, you know, we were in Florida. And so that's how I felt when we got back from there, because we were at, you know, theme parks at Disney World and Universal. And it's just like there's no even like facade of safety there. Yeah. As far as like social distancing or anything, there's a sign hanging there, like there's still a few leftover signs hanging around where they like obviously people haven't pulled them down yet that just say remember 6 feet is safest and things like that. But I mean, like literally, like we went to watch the fireworks at Disney World, and if you were more than 3 feet from the closest person, a cast member would come over with a big lighted baton and be like, I've got space here for a family. And people would just pack into that space. Yeah. I was like, oh, I told my family, like, if we don't have COVID after this, it'll be a freaking miracle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My wife was reading me some article about doctors who are reporting like third and fourth infections for children.
Oh, wow.
And they're vaccinated children. They're just getting it over and over again.
Yeah. 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 That's unfortunate. That's kind of where, I mean, like part of me is kind of like, we've gotten to that point as a society where we've become apathetic to it, where I'm even kind of going like, at this point, it's just kind of, when am I going to get it? You know?
Yeah.
Because everywhere you go, nobody is being safe anymore, you know, or trying to be even, like nobody's even pretending that they're being safe. So
yeah.
I'm like, at some point I'm just going to catch it, you know, from something. I don't look forward to it, because I was talking to a buddy of ours last night who had it and said that when he had it a couple months ago, he's like, I thought I was going to die. He was like, I've never felt that bad in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, gross. So we'll see, though, man. I don't know. I'm hoping that I was really hoping, like I think I mentioned to you on here, my primary care physician had mentioned that, like, he was like, the one thing with Omicron is everybody sort of caught it all right together. And he's like, I'm hoping that may flatten the curve, because we may have a period of like way less new infections, you know. And he goes, I'm hopeful, but I'm not, you know, he goes, I'm not not naive enough to think that definitely will happen. I was like, yeah. Oh, man. Well, do you want to talk just a quick hit on a few news articles, and then we'll jump right into why we're here?
Sure. I have a fun Ohio news article.
Oh!
So, Tim, are you familiar with the calorie pear tree, sometimes called a Bradford pear?
Yes, I know the Bradford pear. I did not know. What did you say? Calorie pear?
Calorie, yeah.
Yeah, no, I did not. I've never heard it called that name, but I know the Bradford pear.
So, yeah, so it's a tall, relatively slender type tree. Its branches grow real close together, and this time of year, they bud little bushels of white flowers.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Well, this time next year, that tree is going to be banned in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah, they all have to be removed.
Why?
well, no one will really say up front. There's a there's a news article about them on a couple of different websites. I read one from the Journal News in Hamilton, back from where I'm from. And they said that it's a non-native, highly invasive tree that causes damage to other surrounding plants. And I think that that's what everyone's trying to say is the reason for getting rid of them. But everyone knows that it's really because they smell bad.
Right, right.
You know, they have, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, and I was just saying they have a very distinct odor.
They have a very distinct odor. Do you want to know what I forgot. It'd been a minute since I'd been around one of these, and then it kind of came back to me after that. Do you want to hear what of this Vice News article describes the smell of this tree as?
Oh boy, do I.
It starts off with a sentence: "The Callery pear tree smells like straight up semen." So many people have referred to it as the semen tree that it has appeared in Urban Dictionary as having the odor of a used sex rag.
Oh my gosh.
So in Ohio next year, they're going to get rid of all the cum trees.
Wow. Getting rid of all the cum trees, huh?
Yep.
I just assumed that we were getting rid of it in Ohio because it's native. I'm looking at it right now. It's native to China and Vietnam, and we're a racist bunch of fat white fucks.
That's so probably possible too. Although, you know,
like, it's causing the COVID. It's China tree.
Yeah, it's the China tree. They brought it in like the '50s, I want to say.
Did we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's insane. So they're getting rid of the cum trees. Yep. I've smelled a lot of cum. No, I've smelled a lot of those Bradford pear trees.
Yeah.
And I've never thought to myself, like, this smells like semen.
I remember smelling them. It is kind of an offensive odor, but like I never really thought of it smelling that way either. I just thought it was hilarious that there's a number of different websites, and I just picked the Vice one because I liked the way they worded it. That all said that it smelled like semen to them.
That's so freaking funny, man. That's funny. It smells like semen. It smells like a sex rag. Oh, man.
So that's my contribution to the news today.
That's so funny. It's so funny because I Googled Bradford pear tree once you started this story, just to look. And it says that they're so smelly that flies are their main pollinators.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm like, that's amazing. Like, they're like, bees also pollinate them, but flies are the primary pollinators. Like, oh, man. Well, hey, here's looking to a schmegma-free next summer. that's hilarious. We've got some of those in our neighborhood. I have to look because we put a small tree in not too long ago, and it buds sort of like that, but I don't think it smells like it. I don't think it's a Bradford pear. I think it's something else.
We have a tree in our backyard that buds like that, too, but Bradford pears sort of just grow straight up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of slender tree. The one in our backyard branches outward to the sides. And I was like, I don't think that's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think ours is.
Bradford pears have fruit on them about the size of a berry, but it's basically like inedible unless it's like after the first frost.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Actually, I don't know for sure if it's actually edible. I just know that it's tough and hard to eat.
Yeah, don't take that as gospel. Don't be like, at frost, let's go eat all the stuff off the Bradford pear tree.
Yeah. Let's go eat those cum berries.
yeah. Shit. Oh, anyway. That's delightful. What a delightful stance to take in Ohio.
Yeah.
Get rid of the sex tree. Oh, man. Anyway.
We care about the important things here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. All right. So, I don't know. I don't have anything nearly that exciting to follow up with, but I do have a few news stories related to the world of comic book movies and stuff. So I mentioned that one had to do with Jared Leto, you know, sort of. And so I'll start with that one because it's the one that makes me laugh. Definitely. It's Mads Mikkelsen. You know, Mads Mikkelsen.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
He played, you would recognize him. He played Caecilius in Doctor Strange, the first one, the leader of the cult group for Dormammu. And he played Hannibal in the television show Hannibal.
Okay.
Yeah. You would recognize him if you saw him. He's one of the other scary faced actors. Like he, like, you know, if there's a club with like Willem Dafoe and, you know, Ron Perlman and him, he would be in there. Like definitely. So, but he, in an interview this week, was talking, they asked him about method acting and he called it bullshit.
Yeah.
And he said, they have a quote from him, which I love. He said, but preparation you can take into insanity. He's like, what if it's a shit film? What do you think you achieved? Am I impressed that you didn't drop character? You should have dropped it from the beginning. How do you prepare for a serial killer role? You going to spend 2 years checking it out? And I was like, that is just fucking hilarious. And then the story I read it in had a quote also in it that, apparently on Marathon Man, the movie Marathon Man, there was an exchange between Dustin Hoffman and Sir Laurence Olivier, right? Mm-hmm. So the story goes that Dustin Hoffman was about to film a scene in which his character hadn't slept in 3 days. And so he told co-star Laurence Olivier that he'd stayed awake for 72 hours to prepare. And Laurence Olivier replied, my dear boy, why don't you try acting? And I'm like, fuck yeah, get him. like, that's just so funny to me. Yeah, the method acting thing is funny. I think the reason they asked Mads Mikkelsen about it is, speaking of Morbius, I saw another related snippet this week that apparently, while on set, Jared Leto would not break character to go to the restroom.
Right.
So they would have to take 45-minute pee breaks because he was on those crutchety sticks. And he was hobbling over to the bathroom as if he was really, really disabled and would not break character to go piss. And so, 45-minute pee breaks every time he had to go to the bathroom because he wouldn't break character.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah. I mean, even like the good ones, like Daniel Day-Lewis, I've heard that too. I've heard that when he was in some movie he was in where he played a paraplegic guy, maybe My Left Foot or something like that. Anyway, he made crew members feed him because he was supposed to be paraplegic in the movie.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, I'd be like, with all due respect, go fuck yourself. Like, you know, like, oh, I'll feed you. All we got is cum tree berries today. Sorry, Danny. Anyway. I thought that was really funny that Mads Mikkelsen was just like, method acting stupid. Let's see. In another bit of news that'll make the basement dwelling neckbeard super happy, Brie Larson just joined the cast of Fast and Furious 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they still making those?
They're still making them big time.
But why?
I don't know. I don't know. People love them, man. People love them. I just started listening to an episode of the one podcast I mentioned that I listened to, Do Go On. They had a guest reporter on it, and I'm about halfway through the episode. It's a 3+ hour episode where the report she's doing is the Fast and Furious series, and she's going through a brief synopsis of each film, and then they're talking about them.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Some people love them, man. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting that Captain Marvel's joining Fast and the Furious. And then the last story I have is we got our first bit of action figure goodness from Thor Love and Thunder this week. So we got our first real kind of look at Christian Bale's Gore the God Butcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So we had talked about, like, are they going to get rid of his nose? Because Gore kind of has, the two nostril holes on his face and no real, like, formed nose. And it appears they are not. He does have a nose. He's got some weird scarring on his arms and head and stuff, kind of right above, top of his head down past his eyes onto his cheekbones, at least. I will say, though, kudos to the Marvel Legends group because the action figure has they made his mouth in such a way that I looked at it and I was like, oh, fuck, that's Christian Bale in the action figure picture that I saw. But yeah, so it looks like they are changing up the look of Gore, the God Butcher, a bit, which makes sense. You know, I was imagining with an actor like Christian Bale, you're probably not going to get rid of his nose, so he's completely unrecognizable, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so I don't know. It is funny. The first comment on Twitter where somebody posted it, somebody posted a picture of it that they got, and somebody put, "I'm all for creative freedom, but this just feels lazy." So I don't know. We'll see, you know. Anyway, yeah, that's it, man. Let's get into what we came to talk about today.
All righty. Let's get into it.
So, yeah, we're once again, we're revisiting, not revisiting, we're visiting, but we're re-entering the world of intrigue and mental illness and superheroes by talking about Moon Knight Episode 2. What do, how'd you feel about Episode 2, Zach?
Pretty good.
Okay.
It has some issues, I think.
All right.
And it really didn't like sink into me until afterward. Like the more I thought about the one, I was like, yeah, I didn't really care for that. What did you think about it?
I dug it. I there were a couple things that I was at first kind of like, having just entered the world of Moon Knight in the comics, not having really read them before, I was kind of like, oh man, like Mr. Knight seems like such a cool character, and they kind of made him a joke in this.
Yes, they did.
But when I thought about it more, and it's funny because I've talked to two friends of mine who have more deeply read Moon Knight in the past and were way into his comics, and they really enjoyed it. They kind of said the same thing. They were like, Mr. Knight feels like it's played for laughs more. But the more I thought about it after talking to them, even I was like, yeah, but he ends up being badass. You know, like he's. For a guy who's running scared, he ends up kind of holding his own against that weird jackal thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe that's a hint that we'll see of like that character, like of Steven being able to kind of take control and actually be an effective fighter as well.
Yeah.
I don't know though. Cause when the shit really hit the fan, you know, Mark was like, let me have it back, you know? And then like, and then we saw Moon Knight and he really did him the most damage. But yeah, I also like that they kind of alluded to anyway that it's not all in his head. He's not completely crazy. Like it is real.
Yeah. At the beginning of the episode, though, it does make it seem like they were leaning way more into the fact that he's crazy.
Right.
And absolutely. That actually like was a kind of a downer for me. I was like, oh, this just took a real sad turn.
yeah. That it's just all in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things let me go back. In the comics, you have Mark Spector, who is de facto Moon Knight or the Fist of Khonshu.
Correct.
And then you have his alternate personalities. Some of them he's had since he was a child, like Stephen Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I like in this the idea that he's made it to adulthood and Stephen has not picked up on the fact that they are two personalities of the same person.
Yep. Yeah, I do enjoy that.
I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But in the comics, Mr. Knight is a personality that comes out later after the fact. And it's like just a superhero, like detective, like personality, you know, he's not like one of his personalities in a costume.
Right.
He is the costume in that personality.
Right.
And at least that's what I got out of reading about him.
No, I agree. I completely agree.
So they've taken Mr. Knight and Steven and they've sort of combined them into one character. What I like about that is that it's interesting because it kind of puts forth this idea that the abilities of Khonshu that Mark has are accessible to Steven as well.
Yes.
But they manifest themselves differently because he's a different person.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was a neat idea and I did enjoy that. But like, I really liked the idea of maybe Mr. Knight being like another thing that just happens.
Yeah. Same here. Like another new person.
Yeah. We've also not gotten a look at whether or not Jake Lockley is going to show up or not.
Yeah. I'm curious about that Screen Crush. And I haven't watched it yet because I didn't want to. I feel like occasionally when they get into their deep theory videos, I watch them and then I just regurgitate a lot of that on our podcast, which I feel like takes away from them a little bit. And you know, I'm just lifting their content a little bit. So I purposely didn't watch it before this, but Screen Crush, I would recommend everybody go check them out. Ryan Airy's very good over there, but they have a video, a theory video on where they look at like what they believe are hints that we've seen thus far that Jake Lockley is coming very soon. Maybe,
okay,
maybe even a theory that that's Jake sitting on the sitting by the bed in the hotel room at the end of episode two.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to watch. I'm going to watch that probably right after we record.
So I like the idea of there being a Jake Lockley character, but I like the idea of like he's a personality that Mark isn't even aware of. Like right, I would yeah. really enjoy that.
That would be cool. Yes. Yeah, that would so be anyway. Very cool. It makes me wonder, though, because they've like sort of assigned to your point, like Moon Knight and Mark Spector are basically the same guy. Right. They're the same right. personality.
Right.
The fact that they've sort of assigned Mr. Knight to Steven makes me wonder. I was thinking, like, have we seen other Moon Knight suits? And we have in the okay. series where we saw Mr. Knight when he actually went into his full Moon Knight suit. It was very similar to his original suit, but it's black and white instead of just all white.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so part of me was wondering, I wonder if they're going to do some variation of that where maybe it's more overtly armored or something, and that might be the quote unquote Moon Knight personality of Jake, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's a wild speculation. I just like a potential that might be a thing. So I don't know, but yeah, I'm interested to see, because it is only a 6-episode series. So yeah. I am interested to see if they introduce Jake in this next episode or not, because if not, I mean, you sort of are almost out of time to introduce.
Yeah, them. We're kind of running out of runway here.
Right.
So there's a lot of cool stuff in this episode. I liked a lot of the special effects. The fighting was fun. I did enjoy how, like, once Steven kind of summoned the suit, you do get this feeling that with the suit comes these extra abilities like super strength and things like that. He was enjoying himself for a minute there, you know, and I kind of got a kick out of that. But the thing that I didn't care for, like, just before this happened, was the whole thing where Arthur Harrow sends two guys posing as police to come pick him up. And right. they bring him to his little community that he has.
Yep.
And they kind of have a strange conversation. Then, like, the idea that you can't, like, some people just can't see these supernatural beings is sort of, like, explained a little bit. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. It's not just, like, you know, Steven or Mark or whoever. It's just, like, it's all in their head kind of thing.
Right, right. Because they are interacting with the environment.
Yes.
It's just nobody else is seeing them.
They're walking through the community, and it's like a little tight-knit community. He's kind of, like, chatting with people along the way. And then he wanders up to this girl who has mm-hmm. a ball
mm-hmm.
and utters some of the most awful Chinese I've ever heard in my life. And like, this is coming from a person who I do not speak Mandarin. I don't know Mandarin. I know very little bits and pieces, you know, stuff that I picked up from television, like hello and things like that. You know, by no means I'm an expert. I know enough to know that that sounded like horse shit.
Did you pick up hello from the Nick Jr. show, Ni Hao
Kai Lan? Yep.
I knew it.
I did.
I knew it.
Yeah. But I was like, that sounds bad. I bet somebody said something about this. Sure enough, a lot of people have pointed out just how bad it was. And it's just that, like, the way he was talking. It's like the words themselves are like, look like somebody just put it into a Google Translate and then copied and pasted it into a script.
Okay. Yeah. I can believe that completely. I'm going to counterpoint with why I like that.
Okay, go ahead.
I like that because to me, that's just a nuanced way to show that Harrow's full of shit. You know, like uh-huh. he's like, oh, I embrace all culture and everybody learns three languages and stuff. And it's like, It's that cult leader mentality of he does the bare minimum to gaslight people into thinking that he's doing what they're doing.
Sure.
You know, and so I kind of like that. I like the fact that it sounds like horse shit because it sort of is a nuanced, like, this guy's a poser, you know, like.
Yeah, I guess
complete
so.
And utter. And I kind of, I don't know if that was intentional, but that's sort of how I read it a little bit. And I kind of dig that, you know.
Well, a lot of people took offense to it.
Of course. Let me guess how many of them were middle-class white people from America.
No, most really? Of the people who I saw that took offense to it were actual Asians.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. That's at least refreshing.
Simu Liu, Shang-Chi himself said he should fire his Mandarin coach. He just tweeted that. That's pretty much it.
That's funny. That is funny. No, the reason I always joke about that, we've talked about that on the show, a lot of middle class America has decided that it's up to them to be personally offended for everybody else.
Yeah,
and that's so true. That's why I was wondering. But no, if I could see how people would take offense to it. I mean, you know, tell them they're in good company. The Turkish government took great offense to the comment in the first episode about the Armenian genocide. So they're in good company. No, I'm just jokes.
It's funny in a way that let's say we don't speak English. We're writing a movie and we need a character that needs to say something along the lines of I'm going to kill you. Right. The character is American. He needs to be able to speak English.
Okay.
So they put it through a translator, and the translator comes back and says, I'm going to end your life, or I'm going to end your existence, or something like that.
Yep.
It makes sense. You know what it's trying to convey, but that's not the way that Americans talk.
That's not the way that people talk.
That's not the way that people talk. Right.
Right. Right.
And that's sort of what's happened here.
I can believe that.
There's some lines where he says let's kick together, but the context for kick is like kick as if you were fighting, so it comes across as let's fight together. And then the subtitles for it don't match what he's saying, so if you turned on the subtitles and the Mandarin came up, it doesn't match what they're saying.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So then in the first frame he says, the subtitles say, what are you doing, let's play again. And then, but that's not what he actually said. And then she replies with, you're going to lose again. And then he says, you're done, Jamila, you're done for. But the context for you're done for is I'm killing you.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. That sounds ominous as shit. Yeah. You're done for, Jamila. Get over here. Hold my little gator staff in your forearms.
Right. It's just like, I thought it sounded weird and kind of funny. I had no idea what they said. It sounded bad.
No, I didn't
either. It didn't sound like good, authentic Mandarin.
Right, right. Absolutely.
It sounded something that somebody just made up. And they weren't far off from that. So, a lot of Simu Liu made fun of it. A lot of people made fun of it. But I did find some articles and a couple of YouTube videos from Asian Americans of Chinese descent who had a few words to say about it and how they thought that it just came across as kind of lazy to them, that they didn't bother to get that right.
Yeah, that does seem really lazy. I think it reads as oh, he's a poser, but I don't think that's their intention, because that's so nuanced that most of the general audience is not going to get it, you know?
Right.
So
it would just go.
I can't imagine that's their actual intention. It was probably just lazy Google Translate, you know? Mm-hmm. Ridiculous though. Yeah. You would think that they'd be able to fuck you. Simu works for you guys. Get him on set for a day and be like, how do I say this? Probably not the most inexpensive language coach you could get, but he also seems to really care about what they're building over there, so he'd probably just come do it just because, you know.
Right. Yeah,
that's funny though. That is funny. I knew that it sounded bad. I didn't take the time to delve into it like you did, but I knew it sounded poorly done.
It's one of those things that when I hear it and it sounds off, then my brain has a hard time letting go of that.
right yeah, sure.
My brain was like, what just happened?
What was that?
What was that? Everybody else is moving on with their lives. I'm still sitting there puzzled.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand. The thing that I got hung up on was the lentil soup, because they were acting like it was fucking New York strip, you know, a filet mignon. And I was they were like, this is delicious. And I'm like, it's lentil soup. It can't be that good.
I like lentil soup.
Yeah, of course you do. Well, you live in one of those crazy vegetarian households, though.
That's true.
where it's like, this is delicious. Have you ever tried meat? Yeah. But it's not as delicious as meat, I guarantee it.
We do eat tofu here.
It's funny because I was talking to one of my buddies is vegan. And if you don't know which one, you haven't spent more than 5 minutes with him. But I'm kidding. If you're listening, I'm kidding. I'm not even going to say his name. we've had like a lot of discussions and I'm like, I get it. Philosophically, I completely agree with you. Like the amount of resources and space and everything that we waste on raising animals just to consume, mm-hmm. atrocious, you know, like, especially when you look at how we could use it more effectively to feed more people and healthier like diets and lifestyles. And
yeah.
And I was like, but man, I love bacon. I kind of don't care because it's so good. Yeah. So I don't know. But that's where I got stuck. I was like, that's lentil soup. It can't be that good. Like, I mean, I bet it's good. I bet it's mm-hmm. good. But well, it's not that good.
He's supposed to be a vegetarian, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But he had steak in the last episode. So he's seen the other side of the mountain. You know, he's been to the pinnacle and now he's back down in the shallows.
Yeah, that was the most unbelievable thing to me is that, like, most of the people that I know are vegetarians or people that I know that have been vegetarians their entire lives. Like the idea of them taking like sinew into their mouth and tearing it with their teeth is like repugnant.
It's nuanced. I kind of thought like maybe that was sort of more of the breaking of the wall because Mark Spector's not a vegetarian.
No, he's American.
Yeah, he's American and he's a mercenary and he's a man's man, so he's gonna eat meat. You know, like in fact, he probably doesn't eat, but he's probably a carnivore. He's probably got arteries that the blood is screaming to get through. And, you know, like the rest of us. Oh, man. But yeah, I kind of thought of that as like it's a little bit of the breaking of the wall between their personalities where it's just like, oh, I'm depressed. I guess I have a steak, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Although that was, if we're talking about things that bothered, especially the cuisine. Okay, so the lentil soup discussion bothered me. In episode one, the well-done steak made me angry.
Because it was well-done?
Where the guy's like, I'll just bring it to you well-done. And I was like, you asshole. Like, how dare you?
I know a guy who will only, he loves steak. He will only eat it if it is well-done. Like, comes out to you as like a charred brick. That's how he wants it, and he only eats it with ketchup.
Ugh.
Just like our beloved Donald Trump.
I was going to say, yeah, he sounds like a sociopath. Yeah, I get everything medium rare, and that's only because unless I'm messing with it, I don't necessarily trust people who aren't me to do it rare without poisoning me. Uh-huh. So, yeah, man. Like, and this will be for all the vegetarian and vegan listeners. Man, when you cut into a steak and the blood runs out, oh, so good. No, I don't like that. Now I want steak. Anyway, let's talk about some of the hits and misses in the humor this time. So sure. I thought that the Mr. Knight superhero landing where he then fell over was kind of funny.
Yeah.
That made me chuckle.
Yeah. What did Mark say to him in his reflection? I can't remember. He said he looked like something.
He said, you look like psychotic Colonel Sanders.
That's it. That's it. I remember laughing really hard when he said that, but the line was, I was losing it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you said a suit. He's like the battle armor of Khonshu, not psychotic Colonel Sanders, which I thought was really funny also. The miss that I kind of thought was when he hit the thing and then he was like, okay, he's starting to feel it. And he did the float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah.
And then he ended it with my name's Steven with a V.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Is that the line you guys came up with?
It does sound a little corny, like something that character would say though.
It does. Yeah. Which I kind of gave it a pass because of that. It is funny. Cause I think, One of the YouTube videos I watched, they were like, I don't know. I like that. Did you catch also, you mentioned the cops earlier, the fake cops. Did you catch that their names were Fitzgerald and Kennedy?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, when they said Detective Fitzgerald, Detective Kennedy, you know, it was like, oh, they're fake. That's not real. That's that president guy that fucked Marilyn Monroe. I did like the idea that, again, the villains are the heroes of their own story. So I did like that Harrow's little weird freegan society there. Felt like a good idea, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, like, no, oh, I get yeah, it. Yeah.
We're all living together and we're caring for each other and, you know, we're growing turnips or whatever the fuck they're growing in that little dirt box in the middle of the city. You know, I was like, okay. You know, I'm like, oh my God, there's just so many, you know, there's so many dirty mattresses just laying on floors in that place.
Oh, Jesus.
Where they're all sleeping. Probably smells like a Bradford pear tree in there. just keep bringing it back. Because they're all banging. There's cum everywhere. Probably in the lentil soup.
That's the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
It tastes so good. It's so salty.
Yeah. Is there cream in this that's curdled? No, my friend. That's a chin omelet. Anyway. we did get a little bit more action on screen in this episode.
A little bit.
What'd you think of that? Enough or not enough?
It's enough for me. I can see why it's not enough for a lot of other people because they want them to like get past like this whole storytelling process with Steven and Mark and get into the action. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. This is sort of an origin story without being an origin story, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And part of me feels like I want to see a Moon Knight origin story, like an actual origin story one, like a Batman Begins, but Moon Knight.
Right, right. Yeah, I could see that. Well, and it's funny. One of the people I talked to who actually is really enjoying the series said that they enjoyed episode two more than one, my buddy who's more steeped in Moon Knight lore, you know. And he said, he was like, I kind of hated that they're spending so much time on the multiple personality thing. But he's like, but I get it because the general viewer doesn't necessarily know that about the character, you know. Right. And he was like, I would have rather them jump right into the action. Like, this is what he's doing right now, like showing him just wrecking people. The thing that I always liken it to is I think a lot of us who have read any Moon Knight, even though ours was very recent, you kind of expected the series to be like the Netflix Daredevil, where he's just wrecking people in a hallway, you know, like,
yeah,
holy shit, it is brutal. He said, I kind of was hoping they would start with that and then sort of fill in the blanks of his backstory. He goes, but then I complain about shows that do constant flashbacks. So I would not have liked that.
Yeah. Not usually a fan of the flashback technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be really executed well for me to be down with it.
Right, right. Yeah. I did like that. I don't know. I'm kind of still hit or miss. I like it, but it feels strange the fact that he can just pull the like the moonarangs. I guess that's like moon batarang, right? Like a moonarang right off his chest without like unhooking it from anything. You know what I mean? Like it just sort of appears in his hand.
Yeah,
I like that because it gives it a more mystical feel, but at the same time, it looks sort of weird, you know.
I haven't really thought about it too much, to tell you the truth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of like the idea of weapons like that being aesthetically incorporated into the costume that way.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of a neat idea. It's not very realistic for like a Batman type character because he has so many gadgets. But like, I do like that idea.
Oh man, when him in the Mr. Knight suit, he pulled out the baton things, the, like a screamer.
Oh
stick.
Yeah, I remember.
I was like, yes, and then he didn't fight with him, and I was like, oh.
No, he didn't.
So I'm hoping those come back.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, man, the scenes of him like running across the rooftops and leaping and stuff, I thought those were awesome looking.
Mm-hmm.
They did some decent stuff again with reflections in this one. That's been a kind of a cool thing they've done with reflecting in puddles. And
yeah. I really like that a lot.
I liked that you got just a taste of it, at least of like how Moon Knight is able to beat up these big, like, monstrous creatures when he, like, went to grab the bumper to lift him, kind of push himself back up, and he just, like, crunched it in under his own strength, you know?
Right.
I was like, okay, so he is getting increased strength, you know,
right,
and power, which I thought was cool.
The only other thing that keeps jumping out at me is, like, I kind of want to know more about Khonshu.
Yeah, like, I keep looking at it going, like, he's not a good dude. Like, he might be the bad guy in this series.
Yeah, he's kind of a bossy dick, but, like,
yeah.
I do like the way that he's, like, animated. I mean, he's very tall. He's very kind of eerie looking. The bird skull thing is a really cool concept. And I remember that from the comic.
Yes.
That was kind of neat. I don't know. I want to know more about that character, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Same here.
It makes me wonder what, is it Amut or Amit?
So it's either or. Those are interchangeable. Basically, those are two names for the same deity. So in the comics that we read, the second series with him in the insane asylum, it was Amut. They refer to her as Amit in this show.
So I know that there's somebody who is cast for that in IMDb.
Oh, okay.
So there's a woman who's cast for that character, but it makes me wonder, like, are they going to go, like, the supernatural looking route like they did with Khonshu, or is it going to just be just a woman in a dress? Because
I don't know.
I'm kind of, like, not down with the latter.
Yeah, no, I hope not. Unless it's one of those, like the comics, where she appears that way and then he sees her true form later.
Yeah, I guess
I'd kind of be okay with that, as long as the true form is used fairly extensively.
Yeah.
Because I don't like when it's like, oh, it's a guy in a suit or a lady in a dress 98% of the time. And then you get one quick snap of their true form and it's like, oh, they have an alligator head. And then you never see it again.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
I'm not a big fan of that either, so... Yeah, I am interested if they're gonna do that or not. So that is interesting though that they've cast somebody as Amit.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else that you can think of?
No, man. I'm still really enjoying the show. Despite my nitpickiness for this one, I did still really like it. I contemplated watching it again actually, but I've just ran out of time this week. And I don't normally rewatch these shows. I don't think I've rewatched any of these Marvel shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I have either, but you actually thought about taking,
I thought about rewatching this one.
Week.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, before we kind of close out here, this episode firmly cemented in my mind that we're going to get a new one of these every week. So I want to talk just very briefly a little segment I'd like to call, well, it's slang, isn't it? Because so we'll revisit episode one first. We got him just like, man, I mean, as many times as he could saying, light as gaiters.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. I like that for Steven.
You like that? The laters gators?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's a goofball.
He is a goofball. Okay, so so that one. So where would you rank that? Let's give it an A. Let's give it a grade, like a school grade rating. So in context, in speaking of offending a particular culture, and then also for, like you said, for the character, where would you give that? Latest gaitas on a scale.
On a scale
how
from
much,
like,
you enjoyed it.
How British to shit. A being British.
Yeah.
I'd give it a B.
A B, okay.
A B. But mainly because I feel like it fits the character. It's kind of one of those little Britishisms, but a lot of people have pointed it out that British people don't say that particular phrase. But I feel like I feel like it could be. It could be. You know, it kind of fits.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that it does fit him particularly well. It feels like something a goon would say.
Right.
But at the same time, yeah, it seems very weird and stuff. A B's probably a pretty good spot. I was thinking B or C. So then this episode, we got Bruv.
Bruv.
He said Bruv at least twice.
He did, and yeah. so did the security guard.
Yeah, Bruv. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Do they?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't. Do the British know about the T and H put together and the sound they make?
Oxford Dictionary has a definition for bruv being the abbreviated form of brother, which is brother, the informal British pronunciation of brother.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, I honestly, I watch a lot of British TV. Not just Doctor Who, but like, I never heard anybody say that. And if they have, it was so slight enough that like, I just didn't catch it. And then fit well into the conversation because of that. But these two were saying it back and forth over and over again. I was like, nobody talks like that.
Right. Yeah. What would you rank bruv in the usage here?
A D.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So yeah, I was going to say a C or D. So I think C only I think D because of the amount of times they used it. Also, again, like Steven feels like a goon. He doesn't feel, because bruv to me feels like the chimney sweep equivalent of bro. You know, what up, bruv?
Yeah. You know? Urban Dictionary says that it's equivalent to calling somebody a chav or a mate and is typically used 3 to 4 times per sentence.
3 to 4 times. Well, then they were spot on.
Yeah, according to this, they were.
3 to 4 times per sentence. Oh, man. So all of that to say, yeah, I agree with you. I think the use of bruv is probably a D in episode 2. Yeah, that's it. I got nothing else to rant about.
All right, man.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay, later.
Bye. See ya.
Grading the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.